Well, it is an honor to be able to be up here again this morning and to open God's Word and share time in it with you. And last week, we got to listen to Pastor Kevin open up the Word in Acts 2 and just give us some back to basics about what our church does and what it's supposed to do from the early church. And I would like to travel kind of a similar lane since we're still in the new year, and just encourage us from what Paul says to the Colossians in our personal study and growth in the Lord. And not only that, but just to look at some of the magnificent truths and treasures that we have in Christ that should really hold us and fuel us in our study. So, before we dive in, would you bow your heads and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time and this place to worship you, to come together as your body of believers in this part here of Minnesota, that you have given us this nice warm building to come into, and now, God, that you would warm our hearts from your word, from what you've done in our lives through Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray that you focus our hearts and minds on you and your word this morning, that your spirit would illuminate your word to our hearts, Lord. So thank you for this time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you might be asking, though, why Colossians in the middle of the book are we going to start there? And it's a good question. But these few verses that I want to look at are because of what the heart of what Paul wants to say to the Colossians. It's really this hinge point from the first two chapters that we're going to look at that kind of propels the book from there. And I think it's a wonderful challenge to live, to grow in Christ, and it also because Paul tells us how safe and secure we are in our faith. So, if you would join with me in verse 6. It reads, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." And any of you that's been at Albion for any number of time knows that if we see a therefore, we're going to figure out why it's there. And really, we have to look at the last two chapters to see what Paul's talking about. And really, I'm just going to get to touch just the very peaks of the mountaintops in this highlight reel of what Paul has brought the Colossians through already. But we can sum it up as what Christ has done in our lives. Because Paul starts off with a greeting, and then he dives right into some fundamental truths of how our faith should be producing good fruit in our lives. How Jesus Christ is preeminent over all. He's creator and sustainer of all things, and all things are held together in him. The one who we just celebrated at Christmas being fully God and fully man, now seated rightfully at the right hand of God. It's an amazing section of Scripture showing us who Christ is. Not only that, Paul encourages his readers to actually understand and know the mysteries that are found in Christ, which seems like this huge challenge that he's giving them. But it's fully expected because of what Christ has done in our lives, bringing us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So, as you've heard the last couple of weeks, there's been a good challenge to be in our Bibles reading it. Pastor Kevin has encouraged you to read Ruth this coming week because that's where we're headed next. And I'm going to challenge you guys to read Colossians just to bring these truths down into our heart. And I'm looking at some of my students right now because I'm looking at you guys going, you guys can read Colossians this week because if you just read one chapter a day, it's only going to take you 4 days. So I'll ask you guys on Wednesday how you're doing. But the challenge extends to all of you as well. But not only that in our therefore, Paul makes it very clear that the central focus of our faith is Christ. There's no one else but Christ. He is the only way to be saved. And that's what Paul is going to build on and what we're going to look at this morning. And not only that, these mysteries and truths and wonderful salvation is to the Jew and Gentile alike. The door is blown wide open from what Christ has done to everyone who accepts and believes. And that's just our therefore. So, now, let's dive into our text and see what Paul has. So, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. I really appreciate Paul and just his straightforwardness, because he really gives us a command right away to walk. So that means we should walk, right? But first, he tells us there's a way that we are to walk, which is as we have received him through faith. Through the gospel is how we continue to live and grow and move. Simply through our trust and absolute commitment to Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, through the work that he had done on his perfect life for us, so that we can have a right relationship with God. The heart of the gospel is what Christ has done for us. And in that is how we move. And these verses that we're looking at this morning, part of the thing that I want us to see is the word pictures that Paul uses for us. And the first one is our walking, but it's actually an action. I think we've had the privilege of seeing some of the little ones in our congregation learning to walk, right? It's not something that we usually wait to walk that until that we've had all figured out. We learn by trial and error in this. And Paul doesn't call us to wait until we have everything figured out in our faith journey to walk. It's often more like a hike where we're going to get where we're going on this path with some ups and some downs, because Christ is molding us to be more like himself in our faith. So really this walking is meant to encourage us to keep living and moving in our faith. Paul doesn't proclaim all of these truths to the Colossians and then say, now take the rest of the day off and sit and ponder. No, the verse actually says to now walk in them, live in them, as Christ has made them real and true in you. And the other thing about walking is, on a good day, barring any injuries, it's a pretty natural thing. I don't know if anybody else has ever had this problem, but sometimes you get up and you just kind of find yourself that you've walked to the fridge to see what's there. Sometimes we don't think about where we're going, we just do it. And that's because walking is so, it's how we all got to our seats, right? It's just part of our daily life. So this command to walk through faith in Christ should be a natural thing for us as we grow and mature. But there are two other things that I want us to look at in our walk with Christ, is that our walk is taking us somewhere and producing something in us. It's taking us somewhere in that we are called to walk in faith, to be made more and more like Christ Jesus. Which, one of the things that I appreciate about how God has made each and every one of us in our uniqueness, if you have a friend or a loved one that you see coming down the way from you, or maybe down a hall, you can tell pretty well who it is even before you see their face, just on how they walk. God has given us a unique gait by the way that he has created us, because he's given us each a unique situation in life that he's working us in. It's taking us to be made more like Christ. The only person that we should compare our walk to is Christ, and how we are being made more like him. Excuse me. And the second part is that our walk should be producing something in us. As we grow and mature more to be more Christ-like, it changes how we walk. Others should be taking note of the work that God has done in us through his grace and mercy, so that they can see more of Christ in us. The world, I think, should be taking note of how we are walking, because we are no longer obeying our fleshly desires, but are obeying Christ and his lordship in our life. Which also means that our walk is a public thing. It's something that we can't just do in the confines of our room or in our minds, but it's something that should be visible to others, so that it's producing something in us and for them. It's for our benefit as much as it is there. So, this walking doesn't mean that it's supposed to produce some strange swagger in us, but it should be producing more and more of Christ in us, who is the Lord of our lives. And really, as we have looked at already, this foundation of Christ in us being made more and more like him is the foundation of our faith, that we don't stay the same. And that's what I think Paul really gets into in this next verse is our foundation in him. And that's what I want to encourage us early in the year as we start our studies. So if we move to verse 7, it says, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So we have a couple of different parts to this verse here that we're going to look at. But first, I want to look at these two word pictures that impress upon us the foundation that we have. So, first is rooted in Christ, which I think we all know what roots do. It's the part of the plant that nourishes and strengthens the tree or the plant, whatever it is. And we have that in Christ. It makes me think of these trees that I used to see when I was up on the North Shore, whether working or vacationing, where it seemed like they could grow right in rocks with hardly any soil in them. They were entrenched in the rocks and in their nutrients so that they were even thriving in unfavorable circumstances. And this always spoke to me of what we had in Christ, where we could be in places that weren't comfortable or we didn't like, but we could still be growing and maturing and bringing others to Christ. And I think that's part of what we can do because we are rooted in Christ. Our deep roots are entrenched in the soil and even through rock because they are down in the living water, which is Christ Jesus. And he is where we draw our strength and refreshment from. It's a glorious truth to know that we are united in Christ and he is the one fueling us, that we don't have to do these things on our own because of what he has done in us. And next, Paul uses the word or the phrase to be built up in him, which is a lot less of an organic word picture, but nonetheless of a firm foundation. I think of a well-built house where the walls are straight and plumb and the foundation is not bowing in, but really just something in complete contrast to the bike ramps I built when I was 5 years older, my first attempt at a birdhouse that wouldn't block any rain. Because since we are built up in him, we have confidence knowing that we are safe and secure. Really that our foundation cannot be moved no matter what storm comes our way, because our foundation is in Christ. And I also think of this building that we are sitting in here. Having its foundation back in 1882, we still have fellow believers meeting here, walking along the aisles supported by hand-hewn beams. And I'm not talking just about the structural foundation, but that this church has been founded on God's word and his gospel, so that we are still doing the same things today. When our foundation is secure, we can withstand whatever comes at us from Christ. So, Paul hasn't been telling the Colossians anything that they hadn't known, but encouraged them in what Christ has given us. And he continues on in that because he says we are established in the faith and we don't want to be established in anything else. If we establish ourselves in anything but Christ and the gospel, we're kind of headed for a bad time and something that's not going to fill us up. And Paul takes so much time on these things because they are really foundational skill builders. It doesn't matter if you're learning a new skill or playing a sport. Often a lot of times of the practices are spent on the foundations, these core building blocks that you can only build on. And when they're weak, they don't, it shows that you can't build very far before they start to crumble. And that's what Paul really wants us to make sure the Colossians have here, is a firm foundation that they can build well on. And we'll see that in just a minute. So, as they're established in the faith, Paul reminds them that they have been established through good teaching. just as we base our teaching here off the Bible, God's Word, and its truth, so did Epaphras bring the gospel from Paul to the church in Colossae. Right and true. And we know that we have good teaching when we compare it to God's Word that we'll see in just a moment. But this next part, this last part of verse 7, it really seems like a detour to me, that we're to be established in thanksgiving, or the word that Paul uses is abounding in thanksgiving. But I think it's actually really for our good, because thanksgiving can be used as a measure of how we are walking, something that we can compare to where we've come from. Because to be thankful means that we are drawing from our roots in the right place and built up on the right foundation. To be abounding in thanksgiving, I think it actually does some work in our souls, that it keeps us humble because we know we have been saved through what Christ has done on our behalf. It keeps us growing because of who our foundation is in and knowing that he's bringing us more and more to be like himself. Thanksgiving keeps us joyful because we know we are in Christ Jesus, and it's not just our material possessions or our current circumstances that we find joy in. And it's also, thanksgiving is, it's contagious. I think we can all conjure an experience in our mind where we've been around somebody who's really thankful versus the angry, grumbling world that is often around us. Thanksgiving is very attractive in that it brings people in because they see what's been done in our hearts and in our lives through Christ. So really, Paul is asking the Colossians, how are you doing in your walk, when he's calling them to be abounding in thanksgiving? It's a good gauge of how they are applying these truths that we've been given. And then our last part, which really brings these foundational truths into our lives, is in verse 8, where it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." This is our reason for our growth and our need to know our foundation of our faith and what the Bible says. This is the reason why we need to watch our walk, because there are things that would like to take us captive. So, we have a need to not be taken captive. And it's not surprising to me that while this book was written in about 60 AD, that we face the exact same struggles today, because we have the same enemy as they did. But these truths that Paul has told us just in these passages, and then that the rest of the Bible confirms, is that these truths are our safeguards. They hold us in line so that we can discern and discover what is not in accordance to Christ. Paul really makes it simple in his Christ-centric focus of, if it's not in line with him, it's something that we should not be paying attention to, because we hold to Christ alone, as we have just seen that is what our belief and our faith is based on. So, the quick and easy way to discern if something is not according to Christ from this is to compare it with Scripture. So, the best example that I can find is the Bereans in Acts 17 and 11, where it reads, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scripture daily to see if things were so." And actually, this is a story that happened with Paul and Silas, where he was there proclaiming the gospel to the Bereans, and they were excited at what they were hearing. But when Paul was done, they examined everything he said with the Scriptures. And Paul didn't get angry or upset at this. He called them more noble. Paul was giving thanks that they were doing this, because Paul didn't want to say anything that wasn't according to Christ, and he was glad that they were walking well, making sure that everything was under submission to him. The same is true for us today, whether that be any philosophy or new idea that comes, we verify it with Scripture. That's our need to discern, because we still face the same challenges today. Examining the Word through the Word is what we verify these truths in, which I think is a great comfort. We live in a time where the Bible is more available to us now than ever before. We likely have one or two or more at home. And the gospel hasn't changed, so that we know that when we study Scripture, we're going to find what is true, because the Bible is living and active. So let us be like the Bereans, so that we are not taken captive. And my last point on this is, I find it very comforting that while it is very helpful, we don't need a PhD or a doctorate degree in the Bible, because God's Word is living and active, and He's given it to us to know Him more. So, with these foundations and the seeing the need to walk well, here's our why. We are well established with a firm foundation. Christ is working in us so that we are made more like Him for our good and for those around us. We are in Christ through His work of the gospel, and He is in us so that we will walk in Him and grow more and more to be like Him. And that we can abound in thanksgiving. More and more the need to abound in thanksgiving. So, our last parts of our walking well are, let us not grow weary of our study and growth in the Word. Whether we've read the Bible 20 times or this is our first time through, there's something new for us each time that we spend time with God in His Word. Let us walk and grow to bear good fruit. Let us continue on the path that has been laid before us with Christ, following Him. And let Him Spirit do His work in our souls. And let us know that we reject everything that is not in accordance with Christ, whether that be under the guise of it seems to be loving or it's going to cause us less trouble. If it doesn't submit to Christ and who He is, we can't follow it. And this last picture to leave you with of our walk, whether it's cold outside like right now or in the summer months, just as we looked at with the children this morning, our God is with us, walking with us, so that we can be made more and more like His Son through His Word. We have been given marvelous gifts through our foundation in Christ in this life, so that we can walk for His honor and glory. So, would you bow your head and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for a few moments to look at a few verses in Your Word that holds us and guides us, Lord. That You've called us to not be stagnant, but to go out and walk for You. God, I pray that You would help us do that more and more as we study in Your Word and grow and mature in You. God, that we would know the boundless love and amazing truth that we have in You. That we would take them to heart, Lord. That we would not be taken captive, because You don't lose any one of Your own, Lord. God, we thank You for Your gospel, that through Your life, death, and resurrection, that we are saved through You, Lord. Let us never grow weary of that, of proclaiming that good news. God, I pray that You would bless what You have for us the rest of this day for Your honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Would you stand to receive the benediction, please? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in His name. Amen. Have a great day.